TV respects me. It laughs with me, not at me.
You stupid.
Hello and welcome to Put in the Nate, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. My name's Terry.
My name's Andy.
Andy, how the heck are you?
I am very well, Terry. Very well. And how are you?
I too am well.
Good to hear it.
Yes, it is.
Well, here we are.
Here we are.
Can I ask you, Terry, before we crack
This episode. Dangerous already.
How have you been?
I have been okay.
Oh, now
I've been better. That'll sound good on mic there, but I'm a bit hoarse at the moment.
Oh, shit!
Recovering from a bit of a
what happened?
Just a bit of a cold or whatever. Got caught in the rain. While drinking my pina coladas and making love at midnight.
That's delicious.
You're still drinking that tropical.
Oh.
Here's a real citrus drink.
That is boring. Lucozade.
Citrus clear.
Plastic. 500 mil. 380. 380. Let me mess.
I've been all right, just a bit bleh, you know.
You know, I had a dose of that myself. Yeah. It's not too pleasant.
You know, Andy.
It hits you hard and true.
I was out playing football Wednesday last, got soaked, woke up feeling a bit shite.
Yes.
And I was at the dentist, I had 3 fillings.
Oof.
And I was out for the count on the couch that Thursday afternoon.
Do fillings hurt in your adult years? I haven't gotten any.
It was just your whole face is numb.
All right.
So your tongue is numb and all. It's been years since I've got I've got a tooth pulled not too long ago, and that's fine. But the rest,
that's fine.
They just numb your face, but they numb the gum or whatever. Like this one was the whole side of my face, and it was just like drowsy all over the place.
Shit.
But thankfully, my wife Faye looked after me, set me up on the couch, gave me the remote.
Nice.
And I tell you what I did. I was like, I don't really want to watch a movie or whatever. I watch a bit of stand-up comedy.
Oh!
Which is not something, I just want to laugh.
That's piqued my interest. Yeah.
And I'd watched it before. Again, when I was sick, I watched this. And I must have been subconsciously that as I went back to it. John Mulaney.
Oh yeah, he's good.
Radio City Music Hall.
I've seen he's on Netflix.
He's two. He's one in Chicago. I think Comeback Kid is Chicago, and Kid Gorgeous is the second one. Let me tell you.
Then it was Kid Presentable. Then Kid Mo.
I thoroughly enjoyed it.
John Mulaney,
yeah, he's very good.
I don't know why I scroll past him.
I think you'd like him.
Right.
There's a really good.
It was too much of a baby face in the thumbnail for me. That's what kept me scrolling.
He's like 35, but like. Okay. He swears.
Okay.
You know.
Okay.
He's all down. Right. He's down to fuck, as the lads say.
DTF.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear that you're back on the stand-up bandwagon. First of all.
And then we kind of. I watched it on my own, and then I kind of put a bit on YouTube for Faye.
Nice.
Later on, and she was quite enjoying. Yeah. She would normally be a stand-up.
Yeah.
You know. So.
You didn't see Bill Burr's latest one at all?
No. You know what? I don't. We went to see him, and he was good when we went to see him live.
Don't let that deter you, though, because it was very warm.
He was good. But now, like, whenever all the clips I see of him, and he's constantly doing that, like, woman's voice.
Yeah, but that's the problem with a lot of stand-up ads, is that they're only going to do the most, like the bits where they're like wacky running around on stage or doing crazy like, you know, because they're just trying to get your attention. Like that, like I really think the best way to advertise stand-up comedy would just be show 60 seconds of one joke and then just cut it off or something like that, so you're like,
I like him kind of, I guess.
His new one was his best received one,
was it?
Yeah.
See, I like him.
Controversial.
Like, I like his style, and I kind of like, I like his whole aura. I remember watching a lot of Comedians in Cars. I like the way he described, like, when he grew up in Boston. It was it's like he said, like, being made fun of or slagging was like MMA in that, like, like sometimes you just gotta, like, not resist and, like, sort of come down and then try and get your escape and, like, pass it on to somebody else or whatever. Because he was like, if you keep going back at them, they're just gonna, like, everybody's gonna do it. Whereas, like, if you take it for a little bit and then see if you can squirm it off to the other side.
This guy?
Like that. Like,
but I'm back on his podcast big time. But yeah, the stand up, if you do happen to dig deep into
that, because there is a plethora of ones there. And I know
Gad Elmaleh, I was a big fan of.
Who?
The French Seinfeld.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Say Gad.
Big in France. That's him. Is that him?
Yeah. Which is a good show too, actually.
I started watching a bit of it. I liked it. I do.
Stand up was better.
Is it? Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
Because I know that. Because I like Jim Gaffigan.
Yeah, I like.
And
him,
he's not on Netflix.
I thought he was on.
Oh, is he?
All over it. Yeah.
Because I think he sold his latest one anyway to everywhere but Netflix, or he self-financed it or whatever like that. Like, it was some. So I was reading about how, like, he made a shitload of money by not going through the Netflix route.
Because he did at one point have loads on, but now I did hear something about that.
So he's on Amazon. So.
Interesting. Can I tell you, speaking of Amazon, Terry?
Hit me. Our normal topic of discussion. By the way, can I just say beforehand?
Yes.
Like, I know we keep talking about Amazon, and it maybe it's just because I'm relatively new to it, but, like, I have read up about how, like, they treat their workers, and, like, apparently they treat them like slave labor. Like, yeah.
Terry so, promotes, like, Amazon Prime. You heard it here, folks.
No, what I'm saying, Andy, listen to me.
Loud and clear. But no, like, I was on.
I just want to say one more thing. Have you seen the Twitter accounts for the Amazon workers?
No.
Like, the fake Twitter accounts? Like, I am very well. I'm treated lovingly at my place of work, which is Amazon. And people were like.
Brilliant.
All these, like, scam accounts that, like, because there was so much, like, complaints about.
Oh,
like,
I did see a thing about it where they're not even allowed to take bathroom breaks and all this sort of stuff. Like,
Bezos, you don't get to be the richest man in the world by spending money.
By signing a lot of checks. But yeah, one of your recommendations, Stan and Ollie.
What do you think?
Now, let me tell you, I have a lot of thoughts on this.
Yeah.
When I first started watching, I was like, ooh, I don't know about this. And then as it went on, I liked it more and more as it went on. Like, big Laurel and Hardy fan, as you are.
Yeah.
And what I would have actually loved, like, I was a little bit sad watching it. Like,
I was sad. I almost cried at the end when they're doing the very last bit. I was like, I was sitting there with my dad watching the cinema. I was like, don't cry in front of your dad.
But what I really liked was that they sort of incorporated, like, little Laurel and Hardy bits into the movie.
Yeah,
you know what I mean, like with the where they're at the hotel and he's ringing the bell, or when he drops the case down the stairs. Like, that's, like, straight
from it. Like, yeah.
I almost would have liked for them to have just almost done. I know this wouldn't have worked, but, like, just done, like, a Laurel and Hardy movie or reenacted, like, the piano.
Definitely wouldn't work.
I know.
What did you think?
They did it so well. Like, even just the little look on, like, John C. Reilly was amazing.
Yeah.
Even Steve Coogan, just a little look and little sort of shrug. And
my big concern was going to be Steve Coogan. Could he do it? And I thought he was good, but, like, I thought, like, John C. Reilly's like, Yahalo.
Yeah.
I thought he was great. And I mean,
John C. Reilly looked so much like him as well. Yeah. He sounded dead on, but I don't think there's two people who could have done it.
Yeah, like, I'm trying to think of who else would play, you know.
Like, I would want, if you tell me in advance, like, Steve Coogan's doing Laurel, I'll be like, oh, great, it's in good hands, because he'll do him a good, you know, service.
Yeah, well, I guess it maybe it was before, like, watching something like The Trip. Like, I hadn't watched The Trip, and then you see how dead on a mimic he actually can be.
You sound a bit like Billy Connolly. Gentlemen, to bed for tomorrow. We rise at daybreak.
We rise at daybreak.
How do they do that? They always rise at daybreak.
Yeah,
with people,
he's really
like,
good.
Like, and that's another one you turned me on to, and I was just like,
trip. Especially if you're sick.
Yes. It's, well, I watched it, and then, like, by the end, the last episode in the third series got a bit fucking mental. I thought,
what happened in that again? Well, we won't spoil it.
I don't want to spoil it. Huge, huge spoilers for The Trip if you haven't watched it, whatever. But
go on, yeah.
The last episode, he like, remember, he drives to Africa from Spain to meet up with this woman or whatever. And as he's driving through the night at like North Africa, it's like he has a dream or something like that he meets her and everything is great, and then like he wakes up on the side of the road and he can't start his car, and then it's like the Taliban are like driving towards him or whatever, and I was just like, and then it just ends. I was like, what the fuck? Like,
there's so many times in that where I'm like, is this happening? Or, yeah, you know what I mean. But what I always thought was interesting about The Trip is how nonchalantly they just deal with like infidelity.
Yeah,
like Rob Brydon cheats or whatever, and then it's just like,
but that's, you know, what's great about it is that people like were giving out to him because he was having an affair.
Yeah,
they thought it was like he's cheating on his wife. It's like, it's not a documentary. Like,
no, I will. They're actually out to him. Now, before we continue, Terry, I'm looking at the levels and I'm not happy. Right. Let me just check the sound levels here.
Again with the levels.
We're back.
I guess we should actually talk about what we're doing here today. It is very much more of a loosey-goosey type feel.
Yes, sir.
We're doing our season 5 recap. This is just like last week. wrap up, recap, whatever.
It's fairly impromptu as well. We didn't plan on doing it this week.
Well, whatever. We'll get on to that another time. That's for the Patreon feed.
Terry, if I may.
Sure.
Before we get into it, we've got a real man's chocolate today. Snickers Duo.
I tell you, you were fed a line by the advertiser, by Don Draper himself.
I know.
I went classic today.
What was it? Dairy milk?
Dairy milk.
A plain dairy milk and a Lucozade citrus.
Anyway. Before we get into our recap slash wrap-up, I kind of like wrap-up better, but whatever.
I like review.
We were talking last time out about like how we're getting like nice little bits of feedback. And I was out with a friend of mine who was telling me that his nephew listens to the podcast, which is very heartening for me to hear that younger crowd.
Influencing the youth of today.
He even said, he'd come up to him and say, "How the heck are you?" So I just wanted to say a hello to Kieran Pilo. And a thank you to the older, balder, fatter Pilo, Colin, for giving me that video. Also, he gave me that joke, so I'm not... a
few stickers on their way.
Yeah. Also, we have something in my...
mailbox?
Mailbag.
No way.
Yeah.
Ooh, do dish, Terry.
And it's from... this might be a blast from the past for you.
What's coming?
Dominic Brennan.
Ah, Dom, brilliant.
Let me read out here.
Yeah, brilliant.
Dear Put It in H Podcast, this is Andy's old friend, Dom. Hello, Bernsey. It's our old roommate, Dink. Back from his days as a mechanical engineering student, I think Andy should explain his self-given moniker of Andy Cantweld. Which he somehow thought the lecturer would find rib-ticklingly funny. Anyway, the less said about our ill-fated college attempt, the better. Love the podcast and reminiscing about the old classics. For me, the classic Simpsons are season 3-8, but after hearing you discuss bits of episodes from season 2, I'm starting to realise there was some gold that I had forgotten about.
Likewise.
The episodes with Carl and General Sherman being particular highlights, which would be worth revisiting on the podcast.
I totally agree.
General Sherman is one that I would like to...
Who's General Sherman, though? I'm
the catfish. The giant catfish.
Oh, yeah. What a great one. Yeah. I keep forgetting. I'm the same. Every time I'm like, oh, that fucking...
And the Simpsons on Sky are actually showing seasons 2. Like, I recently watched...
Oh, really?
The one Homer and Herb was on Sky 1 there. I was like,
oh, brilliant.
You look just like, except for a little less and a little more. God, I feel so... Anyway,
brilliant.
Other than enjoying the trips down memory lane, I spent the rest of the time choking on my own rage while listening to the podcast and some of the outlandish opinions being expressed. So I need to get this off my chest.
Go on.
Terminator 2 was a superior film.
Mm-hmm,
Sonic 2 was a superior game.
Well, now, Dom, I've got to take issue with that.
And The Avengers Endgame was utter bollocks.
Thank you!
3 hours I sat through that shite.
Yes!
Also, I can't believe Andy had the gall to say that Dave Chappelle's Netflix special wasn't funny, while in the same breath is talking about how great Will Smith is. Will Smith.
Yes, the Will Smith.
No offense to old Willie, he seems like a top bloke, but he's had a career of predominantly peddling mediocre music and films. And another thing.
Chapter 2.
What the hell is up with Andy Cantwell's rating system? He hammered some of my favourites while giving one of his highest quotes to the Beatles Barbershop Quartet episode. Mm-hmm. Clearly the worst in the season.
Oh.
Total bias from a Beatles fanboy. I'll be waiting patiently to hear his opinions on Secrets of a Successful Marriage to see if he slates another one of my favourites.
Well.
Anyway, despite the general tone of this letter, I want to say good luck with the podcast and keep up the good work. Just try to align your opinions exactly with mine in the future. All the best, Dom. P.S. Apologies for any spelling or grammatical errors. I had to write this quickly in work. Thank you so much, Dom.
Thank you very much. And I did write Secrets of a Successful Marriage.
Well, he's probably heard it at this
right.
stage.
So he knows at this stage. So hold on. A few points there to take him up on. For one big... I'll tell you what. I was only listening to Wild Wild West in the car on the way home. And I was even, like, I mean, I was, when I say I was blaring it, and I was singing, like, my voice was almost hoarse at the end of it. If there's only a camera in the car, like, I was absolutely bombed.
Why don't you film it while you're driving?
Going the speed limit down the motorway while absolutely
while filming myself on my phone.
So I take issue with that. Big Will is and always was amazing, and Gemini Man will be the greatest movie of all time.
We'll get into that another time.
What was the other point?
Barbershop Quartet. Yeah, choking on your own rage, you were. He was saying he didn't like it. Clearly the worst of the season.
I mean,
we'll get into it.
Yeah, we'll get into it. This is what this whole episode is about.
And Dave Chappelle.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't great. Dom, it wasn't great. You know it wasn't great.
Dom, I'm begging you.
Dom, please.
I always appreciate a nice mail.
Thank
anyway.
You very much. That's excellent.
Look, the fact that I read out on the air that Avengers Endgame was utter bollocks.
With that,
two times I've said it now.
100% agree with that. Haven't even seen it.
Goes to show that whatever you send us, we will read out. Because
whether we agree or not.
Look how cool I am.
That is excellent. That is very good. That's great. I'm great.
Can't weld.
That was because I thought it'd be hilarious that I wrote because it was welding class. And everyone from the country. Yeah. This is back when I was a dub and everything outside of Dublin was just the country. Yeah. I was like, everyone did engineering in school and I was the only one coming in like completely wet behind the ears. I'm like, what exactly is a mechanical engineer?
Why did you pick that?
I don't know. I ask myself
the same question every day.
Same question. First of all, and I've got a bone to pick with Dom as well, still after all these years, but So I couldn't weld. Everyone else was a dab hand, just like flicking that welding helmet down, like, and just gone mad. I burnt the shit out of my hand. I was welding something like a hot piece of metal. You're supposed to
hot
wear gloves.
Piece of ass.
So simple. So I was welding some hot piece of ass, right? Took my glove off to change the dial, and then I went to turn the bit of metal around, and I forgot to put the glove back on. It absolutely scorched my hand.
That is something I would
put
do as
straight
well.
Straight under the cold tap, like looking around, everyone's just welding away. I'm like, I wanted someone to help me. I was like, there was no one there. But Dom, right, here's a little story about Dom. At our graduation, right, big day, everyone's there, about 1,000 students. And I said to Dom, I was like, are you wearing a suit for this or something like that? He's like, no, I'm not. No. I was like, okay, grand. So I show up in like a fluffy jumper and like cream khakis, and everybody else is in a suit, and he's just in his normal gear as well. And like, I thought you said you weren't wearing a suit. He's like, well, I'm not wearing one. So I look like a fucking idiot. And it's like, no, look, I had the hat and the thing that was covering it, but I was like, the whole time I was like, I can't believe
you
big
tickles, huh?
Yeah, you know.
Well, there a story of him drawing a picture of you after you kicked a bit of rubbish.
I kicked a bit of chewing gum.
That's a chewing gum. That wasn't an itinerant woman or something.
It wasn't him, but, no. But she thought I did it. I was just yeah. there's a pond right there, and you know the old routine of spitting the gum out your mouth and just kicking it.
Do I ever still do it to this day?
Me too. And my aim has gotten a lot better now. But anyway, I went to kick it into the pond, but it veered violently left and hit her like cracked on the shoulder. Face. And she was like, "Oh, you did that on purpose." I don't even know what accent
hate
that is.
Crime.
I was like, "I'm so sorry."
Where is she supposed to be from?
I don't know. She was actually, I think, African or something. I don't know why my accent came out Chinese. But
I would have said more Middle Eastern, me.
Well, I don't know. It was years ago. But anyway, I've got some feedback of my own, Terry, before we kick in. Been listening for a while, and it's been the best way to get to work. Quick question. If you were on an island with one character, who would you pick? Much love from a teacher not afraid of stickers or children or sticky children. Fiona. So, if you were stuck on an island with one character, who would it be?
Kind of put me on the spot here, Fiona.
I'll give you mine. What do you think about it? It would be a toss-up between the two. I'd pick Otto.
Why?
Because he'd probably have some sort of...
hallucinogenic?
He'd have something on him.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? To pass the time. I think I go with Mo.
Why would you? I knew you were going to say Mo, and I'm like, why would you pick Mo?
Because I don't think he'd be
psychopath.
I don't think he'd be too much of a chatterbox. I think you know what I mean. He'd be stick to himself. I'd be, you know what I mean. I don't know.
Let me think.
I think he'd be less annoying than other ones. Who'd yours be, Terry?
Carl would be pretty agreeable. Like Carl Carlson.
May as well have nobody on the island.
Well, you just said that with Mo. Like,
yeah, but it's Mo.
Yeah. Let me think. Maybe Bernie?
Bernie?
Yeah. I tell you, you know what? I know exactly who I know exactly who I pick. Yeah. Right? Krusty. And here's why.
You'd be infuriating.
But it's just the two of you there, right?
Yeah.
Eventually, he's going to like break down and want to talk to you or whatever. And then he'd be like, let me tell you this story when I was on the Ed Sullivan Show or whatever. Old showbiz tales.
Yeah,
that'd be it for me.
Okay, yeah, you would Okay. Yeah. Well, there you have it.
Yeah, thank you so much, Fiona,
and for the 5-star review.
Yes.
Now, Terry, say, can we talk about some Simpsons, please?
Sure. I mean, we just were. But.
Yeah. But. Yeah. What category should we get into first, Terry? I think we should maybe save the top 5 till the end.
Why don't we kick it off with the bottom 5 then?
Okay. I'll start.
Yeah. Number 5?
My 5th word. Now, this is harsh.
Is this your picks or is this what you actually rated them?
My top 5 has changed according to my actual ratings.
Yeah, but we're not going by actual ratings. We're going by...
I was going by actual ratings and I just changed it about 20 minutes before I air.
I picked my top 5 without trying to look at my ratings. If you get me.
Okay. I didn't do that.
Okay.
These are my officially... rating-wise worst episode. So
this happened last time as well.
Now I'm doing it by the book. Okay. You're the one going off the... Off
no,
the...
this happened last time where it was like you pick your worst and then you compare it to...
Oh, right.
This happened on season 4 as well.
Season 5, there's so many good ones.
But that's the whole point.
Number 5. Yeah. Burns Air.
Okay. That's your 5th
lowest.
That's my
5th lowest one. Now, again, I rated it like a 7.4 or something like that. So
who knows with you?
But you know, it's hard. There's not really a bad episode in this season. But I
beg to differ.
Tony Burns is there. Fell a bit flat for me. It was a bit lacking in everything. A bit lacking in the heart and a bit lacking in the laughs. Mm-hmm. But again, that's just within context of their high standards. What was your number 5?
My number 5 was Bart Gets an Elephant.
Oh, yes, that's not even in my bottom 5.
And I don't know where it was exactly in my ratings.
Nor I.
You got it there in front of you. Maybe hold on.
Let me get out of the app. Hang on.
Hold on, I got it. Maybe. Didn't you send it to me?
I have it here. I have it here.
All right.
No, I don't have it.
I don't have it. Now, okay, so my pick number back at the element is number 5.
Yeah. What did you rate?
Number three, apparently, according to the stuff you sent me, my third lowest, it would have been normally. Okay. Oh, it was a bit mixed up there. I just, you know, it was a middling episode. There were some good bits in it, one of your favorite bits ever. I liked the whole... unbelievable. But yeah, it was just...
Bit flat.
Yeah, definitely.
In at number four, Terry, who have you got?
Springfield.
Oh.
Or How I Learned to Whatever.
I'll tell you something right now before we continue. Those two, I wish I had given more thought to this, because I would have had those two in as my bottom five, and I probably would have taken Burns There right out of it. But
I think that was like my number five.
Burns There was?
No, Springfield.
Okay. Yeah. Right. Yeah, again.
The casino episode. Some good stuff. Robert Goulet is in there. Jerry Cooney.
Hello, I'm retired heavyweight boxer Jerry Cooney. Welcome to Mr. Burns Casino. If there's anything I can do to make your visit more enjoyable, please, just let me know.
Yeah, great. See ya.
Don't forget to apply for our VIP Platinum Club for special discounts on...
Hey, they said bug off.
Burns, you going cuckoo, like, you know?
Oh, yeah, yeah. said hop. Someone on Twitter, one of our friends on Twitter mentioned that as a particular favourite of theirs for the season.
What, the actual
Springfield
episode?
One, yeah. So it's all very, you know, it's very subjective.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? We're going to annoy some people with these picks. But
what was your number four?
My number four was The Last Temptation of Homer.
Hmm.
Where he's battles with infidelity, you know. But like... Again, it had a lot of heart, but
it's one of my favorite jokes ever in it as well.
It had two of my favorite jokes of all time.
Well, this is my floor. Ah, see you tomorrow.
And
so this stuff really works?
Certainly does.
Oh well, lots of luck.
It's like, oh, lots of luck.
The click of the fingers, like.
So, I mean, like, that's the level that we're at. Like.
Exactly.
But, yeah.
My number three is Burns' Air.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And I don't have that in my bottom five at all.
Hmm.
I was just thinking back on it, and, like, the more I think back on it, the less I enjoy it. Because I think maybe I just, like, had higher expectations for it. I was like, Burns, you know, another Burns-centric episode, it's going to be great. And it just kind of fell a bit flat.
Yeah, fell a bit flat for me too. Number three for me.
For ye.
Homer Goes to College.
Yeah.
Now, this, I've been getting nothing but hate.
Controversy.
I've been getting nothing but hate since I rated this.
How many letter bombs?
Several.
I'm
afraid to open the door. And again, you know, It just didn't click with me at the time. I don't know if I was just in a bad mood while watching it.
Negative Nancy.
Yeah, son of a bitch. Yeah. A brother of mine. But I don't know why. It just didn't work for me. Like, I have fond memories of scenes, but none. A bar. And again, that's my number three, and that got probably my biggest actual laugh out loud moment of the whole series.
What?
I see a lot of new faces, but, you know, the old saying, out with the old, in with the nucleus. Now, we'll begin by... Oops.
Oh, did you see that jerk? He dropped his notes.
He drops his notes, the obnoxious laugh on Homer. So yeah, but even still,
I have a feeling our bottom two might be the same.
Okay, well, who have you got? Do you already give your number three?
Yeah, Burns is there.
Okay. Yeah, number two,
Lisa versus Malibu Stacy.
That's my number one bottom.
Whoa.
Yes. Oh, you son of a bitch.
I added in a sound effect for comedic effect.
It's hot and open here.
That door is staying closed, my friend.
It just didn't. I mean,
so what was your number two then?
My number two was Treehouse of Horror.
Mine's flipped. Ooh. Treehouse of Horror and Malibu Stacy. Both. I
in theory, like, the Treehouse of Horror, if I look at them on paper and I see, okay, it's Homer sells his soul to the devil.
yeah,
the school bus one, and Burns as a Vampire. Like, on paper, I think, oh, great, three classics. But when I was watching them, it just didn't gel with me at
Throw
all.
That in comparison to last year's one, where it was the Krusty Doll, King Kong, and the zombies. And it was like, I just, like, thought that held up way better. Like,
it did. I mean, even still with that one.
King Kong was good.
Yeah, King Kong was good. But yeah.
And even the Krusty Doll. That was a fool thing anyway. You want naked pictures of Whoopi Goldberg. Yeah.
What the? So yeah, those two. Lisa, not because it's a Lisa episode, but kind of because it's a Lisa episode.
It just... that's How worse. How's that? That's worse than a fart.
Yeah. Is it?
Yeah.
To the people listening. But
yeah. Well, what are we doing? What are we doing here?
So it was in the room.
What are we doing here?
Anyway, yeah.
So, you put up some polls.
Yes,
on
I did.
Twitter.
If I may.
You may.
The fans have... Did I... Actually, you know what? I didn't put up one for the least favourite episode.
That's okay. Why don't we move on to... What's the first poll you put up?
Best side character.
Mm.
So, I'll tell you what the polls said. Best... No, I didn't have one of those either. Whatever. Best side character, I'll just give you mine.
Yeah.
Have a guess.
Seymour Skinner?
No.
Oh. Mo?
No. See, you could technically count him as the guest. It's Lionel Hutz.
Okay, yeah.
Because he was technically featured as a guest appearance whenever he was in The Simpsons.
He's a character in the world. Why did you pick Lionel Hutz? What stood out for
you? Again, I felt like, I was like, oh, should I pick someone else? But I was like, I gotta go with Hutz.
Two years in a row.
I think he's just one of the funniest characters, like, on the show, period. And, like, he's one of the few characters who, like, as soon as I see that he's in a scene, I'm smiling before he's even talking.
Oh, just, like, his appearance is great. The blue suit and, like...
Yeah, and his hair and his, like, shifty voice and all this. Like, he's got, in like, the Marge and Chains episode, he's featured heavily in
Marge
that.
Marge and the Lamb.
And that one as well.
Marge and Chains was last season.
Was it?
Yeah.
Are you sure about that?
100%. Take a look at your list. Marge and Chains is end of season 4. Marge and the Lamb, he's heavily in it.
Well, I'm embarrassing myself. I was sounding so confident. Getting over with Marge and Chains, he was... Blah, 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 blah. Okay, Marge and the Lamb...
Mr. Simpson, I was just going through your garbage and I couldn't help overhearing that you need a babysitter. Of course, being a highly skilled attorney, my fee is $175 an hour.
We pay $8 for the night and you can take 2 popsicles out of the freezer.
3.
2.
Okay, 2. And I get to keep this old birdcage.
Done.
Still got it.
Even if he's not featured heavily, here he's like, I got this one, it's almost half done. Or, you know, the drawer monkeys, you know.
Now, Marge, you've come to the right place. By hiring me as your lawyer, you also get this smoking monkey. Better cut down there, Smokey.
Mr. Hutz.
Look, he's taking another puff.
Take another puff?
Yeah.
Everything he does just makes me laugh. So.
Would you like a belt of scotch?
Yeah.
He's like, it's 9:30 in the morning. I bet I'm slipping days.
So, yeah, he's got to be it for me. I bet you.
For me, it was... Seymour Skinner. This year, I thought he was very strong. He had a whole episode to himself.
Yeah.
Almost 2 if you count, like, the boy who knew too much.
Yeah.
He was, like, you know, co-lead and that almost.
Yeah.
I just think they used him, like, really strongly this year. Yeah. Like, and he's just...
He's a great foil to Bart.
Yeah, they rounded him out more and, like... I think that's kind of what I was looking like. Obviously, like, you know, I think Lionel Hutz is a great character, or like Moe or something like that. But it was like they were just kind of here and there for me. Like, whereas Skinner kind of really stood out.
There's something about like Skinner's like straight laced sort of demeanor, so that whenever it's like when Moe goes off, it's just Moe being Moe. But Skinner's so straight laced that when he goes off or when something like that, it's extra funny almost because he's, you know, trying to keep it together more than the others, you know.
I know you can read my thoughts, Bart. Just a little reminder. If I find out you cut class, your ass is mine. Yes, you heard me. I think words I would never say.
Thought it was very, very good.
Yeah, yeah. So. Yeah, Mo, or I have honorable mentions for Mo and Skinner for that as well.
They're your guys. They're your boys.
They are my boys. They're on my roster. Best song, Terry.
Was there a poll for this?
There was a poll.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Are you sure?
I'm positive. Best song for season 5. So I had 4 options. Bart singing I Didn't Do It. The recent one that we just heard, Play It Cool.
Oh, yeah.
Springfield. And Who Needs the Quickie Mart?
Mm.
And 75% of the votes went to...
When I first arrived, you were all such jerks, but now I've come to love your quirks. Maggie with her eyes so bright, Marge with hair by Frank Lloyd Wright, Lisa can philosophize, Bart's adept at spinning lies, Homer's a delightful fella, sorry about the salmonella.
That's okay.
Ah! Who needs the quickie mart? Now here's the tricky part. Oh, won't you rhyme with me? Who needs the quickie mart?
Their floors are sticky mart.
They made that sticky mart. Let's hurl a bricky mart.
The quickie mart is real dope.
Who needs the quickie mart?
Not me.
Forget the quickie mart. Goodbye to quickie mart. Who needs the quickie mart?
Not me.
That would be mine. Oh. It was the catchiest one. It's a
great one.
The choreographed. It even played into the plot. Moved the plot along. I don't know why I find Homer's turning around and clenching his fists at the end. You know, he's like, I hate when people do that. I don't know why that makes me laugh so much.
It's very sitcom-y.
Yeah, like. You know. So that'd be mine.
I picked Springfield.
Oh, another gem.
Yeah. But I just love how, like, even at the end, it's like... And like a pool of goo. You know, that sort of like, yeah. I don't know, it just has a lot going on.
Springfield, it's a hell of a town. The schoolyard's up and the shopping mall's down. The stray dogs go to the animal pound. Springfield.
New York
is that away, man.
Thanks, kid.
Hey, don't fall there, that's squishy.
Oh, look. I don't know where you magic pixies came from, but I like your pixie drink.
I mean, they were probably two of the most memorable ones
ever.
The whole series. Yeah, like. Yeah. Great shout.
Yeah.
Now, this one. I have it down as... It's a working title. Biggest laugh of this season.
Now.
Or best gag.
Is that with us or is that with...
Well, it's all subjective. But
is it in studio or is it like from the show? Like you found...
When you are watching the episodes, okay. What has been the biggest laugh for you? So I had a few... options on Twitter. I only could pick 4, but yeah. You know, there'd be loads.
Nobody's going to be happy with this one, like.
No. Stampy charging the peanut factory, Moe's funk dancing for self-defense, Sideshow Bob and the Rakes, Kent Brockman welcomes the Ant Overlords. You could also technically have Homer backing into the bush just for the memes, Moe choking on his own rage, Homer's bossy. I mean, you can just keep going and going. So, people voted Sideshow Bob and the Rakes, 50% of the votes.
Really?
Interesting.
Which
is surprising. Yeah. For me, if you're asking, Terry.
What was yours? Was it one of those ones or was it something different?
It was one of those.
Oh, yeah.
It was the Peanut Factory
one. Of course.
One. because I just think it's almost like the perfect joke. It's got so many layers to it. It's like, not only is it ridiculous that he's going to be in a factory, but like the guy wastes his one moment on this ridiculous thing he's made everyone train for, and he uses it to gloat and just ruins the moment. So yeah, that'd be it for me. It makes me laugh every time.
Whoa! This is the moment we feared, people. Many of you thought it would never happen, but I insisted we spend 2 hours every morning training for it. You all thought I was mad. Many of you requested to be transferred to another peanut factory. But now, we...
Mine was, and it was... I don't know, it was one that, like... I knew it was coming, and I always remembered it, but it was more that, like... I hadn't heard it in so long, and it was a real delight. It was James Woods on the phone to his agent while doing the cheese. And he's like, how is it the same when... And he's like, okay, that's it's quite a good point, actually.
Jesus.
Tony, you're my agent. You have to do something about this. How can it be the same movie if they've changed my character from a tightly wound convenience store clerk to a jittery Eskimo firefighter? Well, actually, that's a pretty good explanation. Now, this would be gross points, right, in this new... Okay, yeah, because those monkey points... Yeah, okay, great. Okay, good. Book me a flight, rent me an igloo, and tell those dorks at the Quickie Mart that, boom, I am out of here, I'm a dot, I'm gone, okay? What do you mean I got to give 2 weeks' notice? What? I'm freaking no good mother... Jeez! No, not you, I'm just talking to my oven.
Now, that ties into... I'm going to move swiftly on... to best celebrity guest of the season. Four options. Ernest Borgnine has already been confirmed. James Woods. Well, Mr. Woods. David Crosby. I had to try him. He was in twice. Homer's Barbershop Quartet and Marriage and Chains.
Mm-hmm.
And Robert Goulet. Also honorable mentions for James Brown, Kelsey Grammer, and George Harrison.
Hmm.
What would your pick be, Terry?
My pick was... Ernest Borgnine.
Oh, it's gonna be fun.
I love James Woods, and I think it's great. And like,
I will say, James Woods got 100% of the votes.
Yeah, I'd say. Like, and I very much like. I love hearing him riff or whatever. That.
Yeah.
But something that whenever I saw Ernest Borgnine, I was just like happy.
Yeah.
That he like. First of all, that like. He's an old man at this stage.
It's his
like,
shit-eating grin on his face.
Yeah, but like, he seemed so happy to be there, and like, he seemed so happy doing it. And I was just like, "Oh, that's so nice!" Like, and it was genuinely hilarious. Like,
yeah, he was great. Yeah.
My old trusty.
Where the sissy and the bald guy go? I mean, we just spoke about it, but James Woods would have to be it for me. He sets the benchmark for how characters should be played by like celebrities playing themselves,
but like, almost see to a detriment almost in that like so many people then try to become like over exaggerated versions of themselves, you know, and like even him when he does Family Guy,
he's
a joking to himself, but like I know what you're saying, that's the almost the perfect encapsulation of what it should be.
It's almost impossible to do that now, and I mean like you didn't really see it in like what 93 or 94 or whenever it was.
The only, you know, you did kind of with somebody like Gary Shandling or that type of
Seinfeld maybe
like you know that sort of meta-ness, but like
love that word. That's our word of the year as well. Meta.
Do you understand it yet?
Yep. As long as there's absolutely no follow-up questions. What's next?
Best one-off character did you do a poll for?
I did do a best one-off, and the nominations were Brad Goodman, Malloy the Cat Burglar, Dean Peterson, and the Clumsy Waiter, Shoutier. And the winner is Malloy the Cat Burglar. Dean Peterson got 0 votes. I thought that was harsh.
Yeah, I mean...
he is in the worst episode of the season.
He's also not, like, there's not he's loads not really going on. I really like him as a character, but, like, he's not a standout. Like,
it's like what's funny about him is how nice he is. Like, that's almost
putting him up there with, like, against Sam Neill and Albert Brooks, like, you know, two heavyweights.
Who would your pick be there?
I actually went with Malloy, but I probably should have went with Brad Goodman.
That's who I went
with. He's so...
Albert Brooks, just great.
Like, even thinking about it,
I do what I feel.
I love him in the things that he's in.
And who else did he do? He did Scorpio.
He did Scorpio. He did, you know, the Simpsons movie. He did the mobile home salesman, you know, for Homer in like the early seasons. He had like a big cowboy hat when he saw when they went to the woods or whatever. He's done a few. He also did one in the later series.
He really is a heavyweight, isn't he?
He's so good.
Here we have a man with an obvious eating disorder and a woman with a bizarre hairstyle, I'm sure one only for shock value. And yet, they've managed to raise an emotionally healthy son. That's fantastic.
Oh, thank you.
We can all learn a lot from this young man here, this...
Rutiger.
Rutiger. And if we can all be more like little Rutiger...
His name is Bart.
His name isn't important. What's important here is that this lad has fully developed ego integrity with well-defined boundaries. Isn't he? People, I am excited. I can sense a change in the air tonight. You are all going to start living. Really living.
He was, you know, Finding Nemo. He played Marlin.
Father.
Yeah.
Nemo! You can't, Nemo! You can't swim, Nemo!
Are they doing any more Nemos?
We did the second one.
Yeah, they're done with that?
Yeah, I'd say so. Yeah. It gets a bit redundant. Like, the second one was...
I guess.
Was okay.
You lost him again?
Oh, Child Services show. Child Services. You can't take my Nemo!
He's got his fins behind his back as he's been led away.
Nemo! Nemo!
Dad! Rated 18.
Him in prison? Like,
just want to get lifting weights.
Just want to get my son back. Down, 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 down.
Now, here was one that I put to the polls. Best podcast moment of the year.
Ooh. I've got mine already. Now, before you even showed me, I know what mine was.
Well, the categories I have here was...
The category is...
When I lost the lump of gold live on air. The Weetabix debate that raged for weeks. Mm-hmm. Upgrading to a real studio. And getting Tony Cantwell as our first and only guest this season.
Only guest.
And there was actually a tie... between me losing a fortune and the Weetabix debate on Twitter. What was your pick?
I picked Andy losing the gold. And I remember just like, oh no, I lost it.
I pocketed this gold immediately. It was like a proper little nugget. Everything else was like flakes. And I just seen this there, you know, as you swish around the thing. So I'm going to cash that in. How much do you think that's worth?
Nothing, man. It's tiny.
Oh, I dropped it.
Such great content for an audio medium.
Bollocks, anyway. It's gone. I lost it. Well, damn it. I'll find it later. Don't worry about it.
Oh, my.
But he said it was worthless, so. It's so ridiculous. I was so proud of it. It's still around here somewhere. Like,
it's
and
between the crumbs. I'd say it's been hoovered
it's
up.
Probably
this
been hoovered up by the cleaner, but yeah.
She's rich.
Rich, I've seen her in a long time. Well, I was so happy. I'm so happy with it. Coat. Like Robert De Niro. Yeah. When I tell you, don't buy anything yet.
Get the fuck, don't.
I tell you what, after last week's episode, I really wanted to see Goodfellas again. Oh, man, so good.
The Irishman is getting rave reviews.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yes.
Talk about that another time.
So excited.
Maybe we'll talk about that next week.
Yes. Wink, wink. And then we get to our MVP of our penultimate award.
Ooh.
MVP of the year. I'll give you mine.
Okay.
It may be a little cliche, but I'm going to give it to my man, Homer J.
Wow.
Only because this was really sort of a standout year for him in that, like, he really like officially became like the focal point, I think, of the show. And like, it was less about Bart and more about him. He went to space, he was in a barbershop quartet, he, you know, like, he had these very out there sort of storylines and all that sort of stuff. And I think this was like from season 5 on, it was really when it was very much geared towards Homer and then the rest of the family. So yeah, I gotta give it to Homer.
I also went with Homer. Oh, yeah.
Well,
I think
similar reasons.
Yeah, pretty much that. Like, he, you, looking back on these episodes, and like, we're talking about at the start, like, very hard to pick a bottom five.
Yeah.
And like, looking back on these episodes, and then like comparing it to future Homer.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, they the writing was in such, like, they're in the pocket, as yes. they say, like, you know, that zone of like where it's just like they can do no wrong with the character almost.
Yeah.
And if they walk that line of like obnoxiousness but sweet but yes. hilarious but also like naive,
yeah.
and but also kind of like fun as well, yeah. like, you know, where he's just like, you know, you would like to make, like, he would be one I would like to have a beer with, or be on a desert island.
He'd actually
almost
be a good
yeah
one.
For the desert yeah. island. But also then, like, when he became friends with Flanders, like, you know, he is very, very annoying. Like, but he seems like you'd have a great time with him if you met him in a bar, though, or something
you
like
would.
That. Like, you know.
But then, like you said, then that they were in the pocket, as you said, and then as the seasons went on, they just dialed up the dumb.
They dialed up the, like,
they always do that with characters on.
Same with
shows.
Joey.
I was
like,
just thinking of
Joey.
Joey,
like,
and
like,
he went impossibly dumb.
He
by
was
the
like the breakout character by like the third or fourth
yeah.
season,
he
where
was
it's like
they acknowledged the funniest character almost yeah. on the show. Like, and then
and it's just weird. It's weird, like, how like Chandler was at the
yeah.
start, and then it was like as soon as they paired him with Monica,
yeah.
then it was like they kind of put
was
all
that
like,
season four.
Season four, the season 3 finale, I think.
It's mad. I would have thought maybe. That was mad later.
No, it's like 3 or 4 that they get together.
Jesus. It's
yeah.
a shame.
And then, yeah, they kind of put all their chips on Joey. And then, like I still remember, even like as the show was getting noticeably worse,
yeah.
like, one of my favorite bits with Joey was like the fridge. Remember his fridge was broken?
Yeah.
And it was like,
Ross
it's like, I tell you what you need to do. It's like, throws him into the fridge. He's like, what the hell? He's like, what did you do? Like, you broke my fridge. He's like, no, don't give him any money. I saw you push him. Like, you pushed him. And then like that is kind of like at his peak of like straddling that line of like dumb but also quite funny.
Yeah.
And then to like when Phoebe is pretending to be a pigeon or something like that,
yeah.
and he's like looking around for the pigeon,
yeah,
or you know,
yeah.
you know, something like that. Which is like
similar thing as they did with Homer, like
yeah.
it may like probably to the same extreme actually.
Yeah.
That it was just like,
I always remember, like, it's say in season 9, the episode where Bart and Ralph are hanging around,
yeah,
and it's, I wouldn't even say like to a detriment or whatever, but it's like Bart is like, Mom, you have no idea what it's like to be surrounded, to be paired up with a doofus all the time. And Homer just like saws a hole in the floor.
Oh yeah,
he pops his head like, uh oh, and then like pops off, and you're like,
it's actually yeah, quite funny.
Yeah, that is quite funny. And then it's like, how many seasons? A couple of seasons later,
yeah.
it's just like they can't even get that little bit of like
yeah.
that cameo, like
yeah.
dumb but
it's,
funny,
it's
right?
Too in your
like,
face.
Yeah, it's just
yeah.
like yeah,
yeah, yeah, yeah. I'd agree.
Enjoy it while we can.
But they had him. Yeah, they had him. Like, I mean, one of the greatest TV characters of all time
yeah.
during this period.
And, like that's the thing. It's kind of like you say. They had the heart as well. Like we just did in the last episode when we were talking about like Homer and Marge's relationship.
Yeah, yeah.
You were able to do that, and even so, like even the year before where it was like his relationship with Bart. They still able to like do episodes with that. But also, like you say, have him go to space or have him,
yeah.
you know.
You can put him in a lot of situations
yeah.
just because of his
and
whole,
like,
yeah.
He's hilarious, you know.
Now, Terry, if I may.
You may.
Our final category of the evening. Top 5 episodes of the year.
Mm-hmm.
Give me your number 5.
This was a tough one because I went back and forth on it. And I got to go with Marge on the Lam.
Ooh.
And it was, I had to cut out one
Yes.
And it was Homer.
Is this your official top?
This is the one I choose. Now,
it's not based on your ratings.
No.
Okay.
But I think they sync up.
They do, I think. Yeah.
But unbelievable. Marriage and the Lamb. I just thought it was a really good episode for a marriage episode.
Yeah, now you're coughing.
For a marriage episode, you know, which, you know, generally it's like,
yeah,
you wouldn't be too excited.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the top.
They do a great sort of way that it's the one story, but they cut to like three locations. You got the kids with Lionel Hutz, Homer off doing his own team, and then he gets like roped in with Wiggum.
Yeah, yeah.
And then Marge and Ruth, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ruth Powers.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so yeah. It's like that sort of...
It's a very different dynamic episode. Yeah. Like, it pairs people up who you wouldn't normally... They wouldn't normally be
paired. Interesting
with,
like, pairs. And like...
Kids and Lionel Hutz.
Because
and,
they have such a good bench, like a good roster, like this year, that it's like, yeah, you can throw me in there and it doesn't feel jarring or anything like that.
Yeah,
like,
true.
You know?
Yeah, it was fun.
Like, you could have picked... anybody really to babysit. It could have been Mo hanging around outside the house and like, hey, come in and watch the kids. But the fact that they were able to like have Hutz do it shows you how deep that like the characters
they
are.
They could have picked like probably 10 side characters because, you know, brought them right in.
And then obviously then you get like Phil Hartman doing his thing, like, you know.
Say hello to Miguel
Sanchez. He's like throwing all his stuff in the fire. Dr. Nguyen Van Fock.
My number five, if you'll excuse me, is Deep Space Homer.
Yeah.
Is that in your list at all?
No.
It's
right in the middle. Like, I was like saying,
right in the meaty part of the
There's
curve.
Like five ones that are like above. Like, it's like when you have a pint.
Okay.
And you have like the head of the pint. And the five episodes are the head of the pint. And then the rest of the episodes that you don't pick are the middle of the pint. And then
scenario is irrelevant. You could just do a 1 to 22 list.
No, because the top of the pint is the first sip of the pint's the best.
Well, you can use it for... no, Terry. No. I don't agree with that analogy.
You don't think that... Why?
I agree that... I agree that the top of the pint...
The cream of the crop. That's what they say.
Yeah, but did I mean that for pints?
The cream rises to the top.
Yeah. But it's not cream though, is it?
It's not cream, but it's... If you got a pint and there's no head in it, you're like, this is shite. Like,
I wouldn't be able to tell the difference, to be honest.
If there's no foam at the top?
I wouldn't know. Nobody would give their drink to me and ask me, does that taste off to you?
Yeah, that's true. That's true.
They'd go to the next guy. But anyway, Deep Space Homer. Andy Ryan. Taste this. It's a classic, and it was the first really sort of out there episode that they did, to my memory, with like Homer. You know.
As I get older, that's kind of why. Like, I enjoyed it when we did it, but like, that's kind of why I was like,
why it didn't make the cut? Why it didn't make your froth?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there's some very good bits in it.
Yeah,
I love the whole 2001 element of it all.
James Taylor.
Yeah, James Taylor. Yeah. Lots of Barney as well. Like,
yeah.
That guy with the.
I was like, hello, President Clinton.
Like, shut up! I love that guy, the commander.
Yeah. But in a more accurate way, Barney's the winner. Let me ask you, who is your number four?
Number four is Bart's Inner Child.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Didn't make my top at all.
Did it?
Here's the Marriage of the Lamb.
What? Oh, Bart's Inner Child. It's like, it's Brad Goodman.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know,
I mean,
but like,
worth the price.
There's just so much good stuff in it. Like, you know, just I always talk about like costumes or whatever. Like, you see Homer in
his robe.
Yeah. His
the beard is overgrown a bit. Yeah.
That
was a great one.
For him alone, but then there was like, it was just a good story as well.
Yeah.
Like the idea that like Marge, like first of all, the trampoline.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Like, I forgot, and it's that, like, was that one. That's the, you forget that it, and I guess that's the, how it stands to the episodes, that it, like, you're not like, look, they got a trampoline and then what happened? Like, you know, like, I think that like they do such a good job of like weaving the tapestry that it's like, Homer does this stupid thing. Marge gets annoyed at him. she finds her way onto the Brad Goodman thing, and then it kind of circles around to Bart.
But it still feels very organic.
The way that's what I mean. That's how it's a testament to how good the writing is. Whereas, like, they kind of do stories like that in The Simpsons now, where it starts off at one thing.
Yeah.
And 5 minutes post, in.
Season 10, 11, like, that's what I mean. Like we were saying before, like, they clearly work backwards. Like, okay, how do we get them to the airport? Or, you know, something like that. And it's usually some mad outlandish thing at the start, whereas back in the classic period, they would, do it a bit more
seamless.
Subtle. Exactly. My number four would be The Boy Who Knew Too Much. I mean, Skinner is great as the non-giving up school guy. You got Shaw Deer.
Some great jokes, like,
and just Homer and Skinner, you know, was like the Odd Couple. I'm the messy clean one and you're the shut up. I mean, just a classic. Not much more to say about it.
I like that you get sort of like, again, like, it's a Bart sort of centric episode, but it doesn't feel grating or anything like that. Like, no, you know?
Bart, it's one of Bart's better ones as well.
Definitely.
And then Homer just pretending to you know, the goggles.
So many good bits. Like, meow.
What's number three, Terry?
Number three is Sweet Seymour Skinner's Badass Song.
Ooh, that's my number two.
Just
from start to finish, it's
a great episode. A sweet episode. They really sort of get to the essence of the character of Skinner, a bit more depth. But also, like you say, Bart, like, they didn't do too many around Bart this year.
Yeah.
But the ones they did, I found the quality was very high.
Yeah.
Bar the elephant one, funnily enough.
Yeah.
Funnily enough. Like, but
plus, that episode really, I mean, there's so much in it. You've got, like,
Chalmers.
The whole school thing, dog in the vent, then Skinner's fired, then he's in the army. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, it just keeps going and going and going. And then they form a relationship. He's got Luigi.
Yeah, Luigi, I was going to say, like...
Hey, Simora, you want your usual table?
No, Luigi. I'd like one with two seats. I'll be dining with a friend tonight.
Hey, good for you, eh?
It's real nice here.
Hey, Salvatore, guess who's here? Mr. Cucurabanza and some real ugly kid.
Our favorite characters.
Mr. Cucurabanza, some real ugly kid.
They play the crap. What was your number three?
Homer's Barbershop Quartet. Dumb. It's right up there in the top five.
Two thumbs down.
No,
Andy, I knew you'd be excited when we were covering it, but come on.
You know, it's got George Harrison in it.
Oh, I don't
know
the Beatles.
Crosby in it. I just really, I've always really liked this episode. I've never turned the episode on and thought, like, not really mad on this one. I just, you know, I love those, you know, Homer with hair, as we're both fans of. And just the whole putting him and Apu and Skinner and all these, like, people together, I just think, you know, I mean, sure, it begs the question, like, you know, why are they only hearing about it now and why do they never hear about it after that?
That's part, you're in on the joke, though, at that stage, you know, like.
And wasn't that the one where, like, Marge is the one, like, looking back while he's telling the story.
He's like sitting there with the kids. Yeah. She's off in the distance.
That one is
the season opener.
Yeah, that one is kind of like, it's helped by its nostalgia for me. I will admit that to you now.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, that's my number three. What is your number two?
My number two is Rosebud.
Ooh, didn't even make my top five.
Andy.
Tell me about Rosebud again, though.
It burns his bear.
Oh, yeah.
It's the soul mass transit system.
And that's the whole, like, yes.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. Can you hear memes?
Yes.
Smithies, I'm home.
What? Already?
Yes.
Is it my imagination or is TV getting worse?
It's about the same. Oh, look out, Smithers! I love this show.
There's so much going on here. And, like,
yeah.
fleshes out Burns' character. You have his birthday party. You have the whole thing with Bobo.
I have to say, this gig sucks. The real Ramones as well.
Yeah, it's great. Have the Rolling Stones killed. The whole thing with the bear going from, you know, to Hitler to Lindy. Should I go like Lindy or whatever? Yeah. And even like when he takes over TV. Just things like, I can't, oh, it's like, what's that you say? You can survive if you have beer? Like, well, I've diverted every beer truck. And like Barney's just outside the door like, Homer, give him the beer.
Yeah, it's a classic one. I thought, I just didn't even think of that. For some reason, the title, Rosebud,
it does, like,
it always makes me think, wait, which one is that again? Like, you know.
Well, it's because it's the Citizen Kane thing.
I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I haven't seen it, mate. Is it any good? Be honest.
You wouldn't enjoy it. Like,
does that mean?
We talked about it the last time.
Too much of a thinker, is it?
It's a thinky movie, as you like to describe it.
It's a boring movie, you mean? If I watched it, would I come to you and say, that was boring?
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Prick.
Now, we're moving on. Number one.
Number two. Oh, no, you already gave me your number two.
Yes, Seymour Skinner's badass on it. Number one, Terry.
With a bullet.
What's yours?
Well, I didn't say it at the time, but it's your number four.
You're useless, Skinner. The boy who knew too much?
Yes, sir. Had the most fun with that this year.
Next on McGonagall. McGonagall is framed for a crime he didn't commit, and only one witness can clear his name. A little sissy boy who's too scared to come forward.
You gotta tell him what you saw, Billy.
But I'm so scared, McGonagall.
You gotta do this one for me, Billy. McGonagall.
Okay. For you, McGonagall.
Well, McGonagall, Billy is dead. They slit his throat from ear to ear.
Hey, I'm trying to eat lunch here.
For a long time, I thought it was gonna be Rosebud. Like, until we hit, like... And it was such a strong run of episodes. It was a
strong,
like,
finish, wasn't it?
It was like 19, 20, and then Lady Bouvier's Lover kind of slowed it down a bit, but then like Secrets to a Successful Marriage was like 22. It's like three out of four, like, solid gold hits.
3 9-point-somethings out of
that
was
unheard of.
Never even approached nine.
And that an honorable mention for Secrets of a Successful Marriage, I think
my number one.
Yeah, and I think well, I knew that was going to be your number one. It's your favorite one ever. Like, but I couldn't fit it in anywhere, and maybe because it was too fresh. Like, but what do you have to say about it?
I think it's one of the few ones that I look back on fondly that held up. You know, the way I'm always saying that, like, it doesn't hold up as much. And I think that was the episode that always stood out for me as, like, around sometime around like season 5, season 6, like. I would give The Simpsons the accolade of having the most laughs per minute, like, ratio or whatever you'd have, you know, like, as in great joke after great joke. And I mean, Secrets of a Successful Marriage was the first one that stuck out in my mind. It's like, that was the first one where, like, every 30, 40 seconds, like, I'm laughing at something big, you know?
Yeah.
And that was, and, like, it still held up. Like, that first 5-6 minutes of that episode, I think, are some of the best opening few minutes of any comedy TV show ever. I just think it's like they don't put a foot wrong, and I think it was great. I look back on so fondly on that one.
It's great.
We don't think you're slow, but on the other hand, it's not like you go to museums or read books or anything.
You think I don't want to? It's those TV networks, Marge. They won't let me. One quality show after another, each one fresher and more brilliant than the last. If they only stumbled once. Just gave us 30 minutes to ourselves. But they won't. They won't let me live.
So, yeah.
It's a tough one that, like, I couldn't even fit that fit in my top 5.
It's like picking your favourite 22 kids.
Oh, no, I got 5 here I'd send to the adoption agency.
It's an expression.
What would you say now if we were ranking 1 and 2, 4 and 5? What's ahead in the polls?
I would put... now, the purists would tell me that I'm wrong. But my average rating, I worked it out, in season 4 was, I think, 7.7.
Yeah, you're weird.
That's not weird at all.
It is weird.
My average rating.
It's weird that you rank any Simpsons as 7.
No.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Now, granted, our very first episode, Camp Krusty, I rated like a 5, and you rated like a 6 point something. Yeah. And now our systems were a tad askew at the first one. So maybe that brought it down.
For Camp Krusty.
I know. We should do a great one.
We should do another.
We should redo that one. But yeah, so my average on season 4 was 7.7. And my average on season 5 was 8.2.
Okay.
So, yeah, I got to go with season 5.
I would agree that, like, season 5 was a stronger season overall. I think maybe, like...
But there's certain episodes in season 4 that I just didn't like.
Yes.
I didn't have that with season 5.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I had one, the Treehouse of Horror.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the one that I was just so disappointed with or whatever.
Yeah.
That it kind of made me annoyed.
Your average rating was... I think I even have
I think I'd say my average rating last year was probably higher.
Your average rating... No, it was actually higher in season 5. No, I don't have it.
I thought you just said you had it here.
I don't have your season 4 one to hand. No. And you know what? I don't have it here either. So forget it. But it was like 8.5 or something.
We'll say that, yeah.
Yeah.
I will say that like there's sort of... that maybe the high points in season 4... are
higher,
maybe higher or as high as anything in season 5, like that that brother from another planet, is it?
That's
so good, like that. That's in my top 5 of all time, like, yeah,
nice.
I hope my ratings don't say otherwise. But it was a great season.
Yeah, an honourable mention for Boy Scouts in the Hood as well. Yeah, we just didn't get any mentions in their list here, but that was also another beaut.
That was Boy Scouts in the Hood. And actually, just to compare my 5 that I listed there with the 5 by my ratings, apparently.
Yes.
Boy Who Knew Too Little is number 1. Okay. Bart's Inner Child, number 2. Rosebud, number 3. Successful Marriage, number 4. Homer Loves Flanders and Marriage and the Lamb are tied at 5. And I think Boy Scouts in the Hood, you know... Boy Scouts in the Hood and... what was the one? Cubic Zirconia. What was the name of that one?
The one with the cat burglar. What's the name of it?
I don't know what the name of it is. It's gone out of my head. But
that's gonna drive me mad.
Yeah, but that one there, I was like, for me, this
Home of the Vigilante.
Yes, there we go. Yeah. There's so many good bits in
and
that.
And the thing is, like, the ones that missed out are like 8.6s, 8.5s.
That's
like,
what I mean. Like, you know, that's what it should be. It's The Simpsons.
Yeah, I mean. Yeah, a lot of those ones I would have had up there. Just Homer Goes to College, for some reason, didn't land for me.
Okay. So it's been a great season.
It has.
And it's been a great sort of year, I guess.
And we've come a long way since the end of season 4. When you compare, even just sitting here in a studio, you know, we've had guest singular on.
But just huge sort of climbs in the charts and sort of like...
it's been amazing.
Yeah. I'd like to thank all of our loyal listeners.
Yeah, it has been amazing. Thank you very much.
It sort of makes our day anyway when we see sort of we've charted or whatever like that. Yeah. Like, you know, recently in the top 20 of
you know it
of TV shows is very heartening to see.
It is. And
thank you for your continued support.
And whenever we're out, I was going to say, well, I say whenever we're out, I'm not out as often as you, but even when we were out the other night and people were just chatting to us about the podcast and how much I loved it and all that, I was like,
it's great.
It's like, amazing.
Yeah.
Please keep going.
I would also like to say a big thank you to you, Andy,
for
all the hard work you do with the social media and all that stuff.
Thank you.
Getting the stickers, everything. This guy puts in all the hard yards behind the scenes. We're in your office in a studio that you designed, like, so.
Well, thank you very much. I'm not used to accepting these sort of compliments.
No, it means a lot, and
happy to do it.
Job well done.
Thank you very much, Terry. Yeah. That
now on to season 6. My season. That was the first season.
Your season 5.
That was the first season I bought on DVD. Was season 6.
I think season 5 was the one I bought. Yeah. But season 6 kicks off right off with the
pool.
The swimming pool. Yeah. Oh, amazing. Yeah. Well, I mean, it's just gone straight from strength to strength here.
So very excited to get into that.
And it's great, and it's great to see, like, genuinely, as I look at the stats of, you know, the podcast over the last like 12 months, like, it's just every month it's just gone up and up and up. So I mean, that's just amazing to see. So who knows where we'll be this time next year.
A few things in the pipeline for next year as well. I know we said that last year about like merch and stuff. We've gotten there slowly with the
merch. Getting there. We're getting there.
Might be you might be able to come meet us sometime next year.
If you happen to live on the Emerald Isle.
Fly over.
We're looking at doing something live. Probably maybe early next year.
But I'll find it a bit hard in the next couple of months.
He's got a baby on the way.
Bring him along.
But
live shows. So hopefully that's on the agenda for next year.
More guests too.
100%.
And eventually, see, now I have sale agreed on that house. I don't know if I mentioned, but there's a big shed at the back, and I was going to use it for my car, but now I'm not doing that anymore. I'm going
Where would you put a car in your shed?
Well, it's a garage technically.
Alright, okay.
But it's like, and like it's just like made for like a studio. So I'm hoping that as time goes on, I will be able to convert that into a proper, put it in a dedicated studio. But that's all down the tracks. But basically, you know, more podcast related things in our future is what we'd like. Anyway.
Yeah.
Where can they find us, Terry?
You can find us on Facebook, as always. Put it in H, a Die Hard Simpsons podcast. And everything that sort of goes on our social ends up there, I think, if you're still inclined to be using Facebook. Give us a like and drop us a message or whatever like that. Like, we'll, like I said, we'll read out whatever you send us.
If you say anything to us, we will read it on air. And, anything. You can also find us on Instagram at Put It In H Podcast. You can find us on Twitter at Put It In H Podcast. Terry,
email us.
What's the email address?
PutItInHPod@gmail.com.
You got it. Yeah. And you can donate to the show if you can't remember. Now, you know what? Fair enough. Sometimes it's hard to, you know, hard to get a pen when you're listening and jot down the address. Fear not. Because if you just head to our SoundCloud page, wherever you find us, there's a little donate link right there. So please.
PayPal.me/PutItInHPod.
And iTunes, Stitcher.
Like you say, the reviews are like music to our ears. They really go such a long way to help like grow the podcast.
Reviews are like gold dust.
Yeah.
We literally,
not the wrestler.
We literally went from like jumped about 40 places in the charts. Like we got a couple of great reviews last week, so thank you. But in the time between getting like the second and third review, like that difference, that one extra review made, jumped us, springboarded us up the charts. So please, if you haven't,
sort of that helps like idle people. Oh, what's this?
Yeah,
yeah, you know, they're number 12. Okay, well, I'll give them a go.
Thank you for those who did. And if you did do it, email us in your address and we will send you some stickers.
Yes.
No questions asked. I don't know why I said that so aggressively. But until next time.
Yeah. Keep watching the skis.
And a one, and a two, and a three.
Boom, boom, boom.
Baby on board, how I'm adored. That sign on my car's window pane. Bounce in my stem, loaded with hep. 'Cause I'm driving in the car. Sign can't